To the 919 podcast, the only podcast all about the over 1.5 million people living within and transforming the triangle. And I'm your host, John Carter. And this week is the 8th, I think, dinner and movie episode with Megan Spell. So here I am, joined by Megan herself.
Hi, 8. That's a ton.
Yes, it's a lot. But it's always one of my favorite episodes to record. If you're new to the show, basically what we do is we talk about local restaurants or eateries in the area, and then we pair it with a movie that is out in theaters right now. There's a lot of good theaters in the area. Or we talk about maybe a movie in that you could watch that's maybe been out for a while or you could stream. So Megan is the local restaurant and then theater expert. Yeah, expert. So that's why she's joining. But all right, well, let's just take it away. Also, we should mention, this is a holiday special.
This is a holiday special.
Specifically Christmas holiday.
Yes.
So we're past Thanksgiving. Nobody really talks about Thanksgiving movies. They're talking about holiday
movies. I'm trying to think if there are like Thanksgiving specific
movies. No, I mean, there are. Planes, Trains, and Automobiles comes to mind.
Yes, that's the one, I feel
but like. Again, I wouldn't call that a Thanksgiving movie.
It's a holiday.
It's a holiday movie.
Yeah.
There are holiday movies and there are Christmas movies.
Yes.
So we're talking about Christmas movies.
Yes,
today.
Christmas movies.
And we have established this before, but it doesn't mean that it happens at around the Christmas time.
This is my argument. Christmas has to be central to the plot for it to be a Christmas movie.
It can't
movie.
Just happen
it
while
it can't just. And then, I mean, some things happen at Christmas and some things are like, there's one scene with Christmas and people are like, is that a Christmas movie? I'm like, I can't get into this. Also,
at the end of the day,
I don't even care. You know, like I have my own standards of what a Christmas movie is. But if you think Die Hard is one, then that's great for you. I'm not going to take that from you.
One, I don't want to debate you. Two, this is exhausting. I don't want to.
One, this is like on the list of things I'd like to argue about film right now, the bottom.
Okay. And so let's basically get into it. The first combination
we'll start with the restaurant. So I wanted to talk about somewhere because I had a team from work come in this week and we were like, where should we go? And for some reason, every time I have like a group of people coming in from like all over the country, we always go to the Pit. So there is a Durham location and a Raleigh location, and it's
which one did
barbecue.
You go to?
We went to Durham, of course. Okay. This is me pushing my Durham agenda on everyone. That's selfishly, yes, but also you can get a reservation on OpenTable, and I like the points. So, so we had like a whole team from kind of all over the country, and everyone was so excited about the. Barbecue. And so, you know, when you go to the Pit, it sparks like all the discussion. You're like, well, there's Eastern, Western sauce, and there's a Piedmont sauce. And
which one do you like?
I can't remember which one's which. I know vinegary. Now I'm going to say it wrong. I think it's Eastern. And then I think like tomato.
I also don't want to say it wrong. So
and I think tomato is Western. But, and then our waiter was talking to us about how North Carolina is very pig-based as opposed to like Texas, which is very beef-based. I'm definitely not an expert. And then everyone at the table was arguing about where has the best barbecue. And I think this is a very common topic in food. And so that's, I think, why the Pit is like so good for like big groups and people coming in from out of town, because I think it's a real North Carolina staple to like go out, get some good barbecue, and then like argue about meats for an hour.
Yes. And I wish I could have joined you guys. No, I definitely need to go. I've been to the Pit in Raleigh. Mm-hmm. Is the Durham location any different?
I think they're very similar. I got pulled pork, and I would say they were comparable at both. But and then the other thing that We were introducing some people on the team as they'd never had hush puppies. We had some Canadians in town as well. And when we showed up, they brought out a big plate of hush puppies and biscuits. Yes. And they were like, this is the starter? How much is this? And we're like, that's included, man. Welcome to America. Fried corns. Yeah. So, everyone had a really good time and it was like a really good atmosphere. And they also have local beer. And then, it's right next to Full Steam and Motorco. So if you wanted to like pop across the street and continue your night or anything, that's a great option.
So it's all there in downtown.
Yes. Yeah, it's perfect. A fun little area. And there are some like new restaurants and bars over there too. So I think that area is very
growing. There's always new restaurants and bars. Mm-hmm. Which is great.
The Pit's I think one of the more established restaurants over there. Right. And the Pit, and then go to Full Steam and they have like their winter beers right now too. So
winter lager.
And, yeah.
Yeah. That's very good. Mm-hmm. So after the Pit, let's pair it with a movie you can see out right now. What are we talking about?
Yes. So this is a first. I'm going to throw it to John to talk about a movie that I haven't seen.
I don't think anybody's ready for this.
I know. So. It's kind of on my list, but honestly, this is my craziest season. You know this. I'm catching up on There's so many movies. I'm catching up on all my Oscar stuff. So I haven't seen The Grinch yet.
The Grinch. The new animated one. That just came out. It's made by the same people that make Despicable Me.
Mm-hmm.
And Life of Pets.
Yes, Illumination.
Illumination has all the minions. So the main actor is Benedict Cumberbatch, mm-hmm. and which was so bizarre. When you listen to it, I want you to tell me what you think about his voice acting, because he's a British guy,
mm-hmm.
but he has this nasally American voice. I say American, just like normal, American English.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's really weird.
Yeah, does it sound like him?
It doesn't, I could tell.
Okay.
But it doesn't distract enough from this, I couldn't pay attention to the story. But yes. I remember at first, I was like, that's weird.
Yeah, definitely.
It doesn't sound like him.
I'm trying to think of what I've seen him do an American accent in, because I watch Sherlock.
Doctor Strange.
Which he doesn't, and Doctor Strange. And then, did you ever see Black Mass? He has a Boston accent, so that's very different. That's not
mid-America.
Yeah. It is American, but it's not, it's regional for sure.
Well, in a lot of movies, he has this British accent. He has a very deep, calculating voice.
Yes.
So this is not that.
Interesting.
And I'm wondering, I don't know why they picked him.
I remember seeing that and I thought that's a strange choice.
But it worked out really well. He did a really good job.
Yeah.
There's some other notable people, and Pharrell Williams, whose career was started by Despicable Me with the song Happy. He narrates the entire thing.
Oh,
and it's actually really well done.
Okay.
Like, he does a really good job.
Yeah.
And then I'm trying to look through all the other actors. Rashida Jones, I think, mm-hmm. is the main, the mom of Cindy Lou, mm-hmm. I think, from what I understand. I don't know who plays Max the dog, but maybe. I wonder if that was Benedict Cumberbatch. That'd be interesting. And then there's another, I need to talk about the actual story here in a second, but mm-hmm. Kenan Thompson from SNL is this other reoccurring character.
He has he's a great voice actor, I feel like.
He's fantastic. And this guy's like a lumberjack, but this particular character loves the Grinch, and he's just friendly to everybody.
Yeah.
And the Grinch just hates it so much. And nothing the Grinch can say will make him sad or angry. So it's really fun, his voice.
I wanted to know I don't want you to spoil everything, but how they refreshed it, because you've mentioned your love for the Jim Carrey version.
We got to talk about the Jim Carrey version maybe in a few minutes for sure. But so that's my favorite. So I was kind of basing off that and the cartoon, the original one.
Mm-hmm.
This is, I feel like it's probably more classic to the, the original cartoon and maybe mm-hmm. the story. I'm trying to think of how, if you don't know the basic plot of The Grinch, maybe you should look that up, because
that's not a spoiler. He tries to ruin Christmas.
Right, this guy hates Christmas for an unknown reason, and the basic story, and then he wants to ruin Christmas, and then at the end, everything is redeemed.
Yes, because of course.
He finds his heart grows three sizes. So,
in this one, does his heart grow?
Yes, so. Yes. They didn't. They kept all of the central plot points.
Okay.
The story about why he is angry has changed, and I actually like it a lot.
Okay.
And they don't over-explain it. It's like a very short two-minute scene.
Original, I don't even know if it's addressed. Like, they're just like, he hates Christmas.
He just hates it.
They go into the backstory in the Jim Carrey
one. The Jim Carrey one, that takes a while.
Mm-hmm.
This one's like 2-3 minutes, and that's it. That's all you need. And I really like that they don't over-explain things.
Yeah.
I told you this before, but like the stealing Christmas part,
mm-hmm.
the montage, because it's always a montage with the song, is the best I've ever seen for like that kind of, I guess, a Grinch movie or cartoon. Like, it's really well done. He has a bunch of different gadgets and everything.
Well, and I think what's kind of funny about the original Grinch, the cartoon, is it's like how ridiculous the scene or the montage in which he steals the stuff. And now that we can actually do a lot more with stuff. Animation, you can make it real entertaining, I'm sure.
The story of him, like, the planning process takes a bulk of the movie, which didn't happen in Jim Carrey. Like, he really didn't plan that
well. Well, and I think it's the difference between, like, the original is a TV movie. I think it's, like, 30 minutes or an hour, short. The Jim Carrey one, they fleshed out his kind of whole backstory.
Right.
And so in this one, I guess it would have to be a longer lead-up.
He planned a long time, but there's other characters introduced. It's not just him and Max, which is fun.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think it messed up anything. I'm not going to say too much, but, like, it's really interesting. He actually likes Max, where in the other ones, it seems like he's just like, oh, Max is there. Like, but he really likes his dog, which is like, oh, that's sweet.
He's like the one thing I love.
Yeah. And then when he's interacting with people, or the Who's down in Whoville, like, he's not a scary presence to them. Mm-hmm. He's just a normal, even though he looks completely different, they don't treat him any different.
Yeah.
He just doesn't like them. Yep. So that was kind of interesting to me.
Yeah.
He's not trying to hide himself or anything.
Yeah.
He's just that guy who lives on Mount Crumpet. So.
Yeah.
Anyway. Okay. I'm going to stop talking about it for now. But, I mean, it was a really good movie.
Yep.
Very touching.
Recommend.
I told you, and you made fun of me, but I'm going to say it again. This is a movie that I saw with Katie and then two of our friends, actually her sister and then a friend of ours. And it's one of those movies where it was just delightful. And we finished the movie and we just sat there watching the credits and we just smiles on our faces because it was just a fun movie. So
I'm going to defend my making fun of you. John worded it to me like, you know, sometimes you see a movie and it ends and you just sit in the theater and like sit with it. And I'm like, the Grinch? Like, I'm thinking like very heavy performances or like really thought provoking, you know? And you're like, no, we were just smiling. Like, we were like, oh, what a great time.
Well, when you see it and have a heart, then you
can. When your heart grows three sizes, honestly.
Then you'll like it. So. Anyway, well, I think that went pretty well.
Yeah. Yeah, great. I'm proud of you. Yeah.
I did have the cast members in front of me, but I remembered enough about them to
talk about it. So. I think it went flawlessly. We can do your quarterly review after this.
Quarterly. I appreciate that. Even though it's my podcast, you're telling me what I can and can't do.
I'm in charge now. Welcome to the 919 podcast with Meg.
I am the captain.
I am the captain.
Okay, so that was kind of our combination out. The Pit, then we'll go watch The Grinch. I think it's still out. For a while, it's been out since November. Yeah,
it'll be out. I bet it's out through Christmas.
It better.
I think you have time.
Yeah.
So I think for the next one. So since this is our Christmas episode, and I think like the best kind, like we're doing a lot of group stuff, but you like holidays are like forgetting with people and watching like eating comfort food, watching comfort food movies, you know, and just like being with people. So I'm actually gonna recommend going to. It's called the Butcher's Market. And I think there's one in Raleigh. I normally go to the Cary one, actually.
Wow.
But it's kind of like a specialty butcher shop and grocery store. And one of the things I get every time I'm going to have like a bunch of people over is they have a like pre-made lasagna. And it's just Zagna? Incredible.
Just like mom used to make.
Well, that's I was going to say. I am not Italian, and okay. It's been like a topic in my family that I wish I was Italian because they seem like they have fun and have good food. And my family's like, sucks, we're Irish. So I am not a purist about anything, but the lasagna has bechamel. It has like really good meat combinations. Mm-hmm. It's like traditional, like at home I probably wouldn't like combine. I think it's like beef, pork, veal. And This one is very, you know, in the traditional style in that way, I would say. And it's just like amazing. And so if I'm ever going to have a bunch of people over or kind of heat up food for a long time for some people, that's like definitely comfort food. Because like, like pasta is such comfort food to me, you know, like
You
just want to sit down with some noodles.
Oh yeah. Bread makes everything better.
That's Carbs are good.
Carbs are great.
This is our hot take. You know what? We're going to say it. Carbs are yummy.
Carbs are yummy.
And so I think, you know, grocery stores, like especially grocery stores, especially ones that are local can, they aren't that popular nowadays because there's a lot of grocery stores that are North Carolina, you know, represented in our area. And I think, you know, sometimes maybe we don't go to specialty grocery stores enough or appreciate that stuff. And sometimes just a really good lasagna that I didn't have to slave over for days, like that's going to hit the spot.
Yeah. No, I appreciate that. And you make a good point. I mean, I really should have the numbers, but it is so competitive. The super, what do you call it? Supermarket or just grocery store like battle in North Carolina is probably the most intense in the country because you have so many from the like Florida that are coming up, like Publix and all those. Then you have stuff from the north coming down. You have your in-state like Lowe's and Harris Teeter. Mm-hmm. And then you have these overseas ones like, is it Lidl or Lidl?
Lidl, I think.
I don't have one near me. I just know they're here.
I've never
here.
Been, yeah.
And then Aldi's, I guess, is kind of established
that's,
here.
Well, so. Then there's also, like, right now there's so many niche ones. I mean, like, you have Whole Foods, you have Earth Fare, you have Fresh Market, Trader Joe's. I mean, I am a Trader Joe's stan, so that's we'll get that on the record. But
Trader Joe's, I never thought, like, you could identify yourself by what – I don't know how to say this.
I'm not saying being a fan of Trader Joe's is my personality, but it's a part of it.
It's a way of life. Just, I think it's impossible to go to Trader Joe's and not talk about it.
Yeah, no.
And I'm saying that making fun of people that go to Trader Joe's. I go to Trader Joe's. I posted about
it. It's like, actually, this is from Trader Joe's. So right. It's very good and very reasonably priced.
Everyone does it that goes to Trader Joe's.
The thing about Trader Joe's, which makes it so ubiquitous, is there's so many things you can only get at Trader Joe's since they sell, like, their own branded stuff. So, like, I feel like it comes up a lot because people are like, where did you get this? I'm like, Trader Joe's.
Trader Joe's.
And you can't get it anywhere
else.
I'm
better than you.
No, I didn't say Whole Foods. But no, you make a good point. I was driving by Leesville the other day and they put a Publix up like eye distance from a Harris Teeter. I'm like, oh, that's the same market. This
Game
is about
on.
To
yeah.
be drama.
So it'll be interesting how that plays out in the next few years and who wins out, I guess. Hopefully the local people.
Yeah. You know, we want small businesses, right, John? We're very,
we do.
We're very supportive. John has a whole show about this area.
Okay. So you're talking about is Butcher Shop?
The Butcher's Market.
Butcher's Market. And try a lasagna, which is traditional. It's interesting that they make it so good, just like ready for you to take home.
Yeah.
So that's cool.
No, it's perfect. And it's one of those things I went in, like I was looking for something that I didn't think I could get at a regular grocery store. I needed like duck or lamb shoulder or something. And I went in and they had like a little sample thing and it was that lasagna. And I literally had a bite. I'm like, oh, look, I'm buying a lasagna now. I live alone
Thank
and now
you.
I have a lasagna. But no, it was perfect. And I had people over and we ate lasagna.
Awesome.
And you know what's good for like having a bunch of people over and eating lasagna? Watching Christmas movies.
Oh, great segue. Okay.
I'm pivoting.
So we're not just going to focus on one certain movie that you can watch in, but this is the holiday, you know, Christmas special. So yeah. Do you want to start it off?
I'll start.
What do you watch on Christmas?
Yeah. I mean, it's hard to say like your favorite Christmas movie.
It's not
because
for me.
Because
maybe for some people.
There are so many that like you like my standards for a Christmas movie are probably lower than my standards for another movie, because it's just going to be something that you watched and you grew up with and that you kind of like love nostalgically. So
sure. It's not really that great of a movie.
That's the thing. Well, I will argue the performances in mine are pretty good. Okay. So I'm going to talk about Elf.
Oh,
I love Elf. And this is like the height of Will Ferrell and like
it's his
the
best.
Height of Zooey Deschanel. It's probably
gotta be,
not.
It's got to be his best performing movie of all time, right?
I think it's hard. Like Christmas movies are hard to quantify, because it's one of those things like every year Mariah Carey's All I Want for Christmas Is You hits the charts, know?
Yeah.
Like, so, I mean, Will Ferrell has, you got to think like all those Adam McKay movies like Anchorman and Talladega Nights, Step Brothers and all those. But, I mean, Elf really is like one of my favorites.
You surprised me, because I kind of expect you to pick either a very like specific kind of off the beaten path Christmas movie.
Or like
movie.
A Christmas Story.
Or, yeah, a Christmas Story, like an older
Home
one.
Alone.
So I didn't expect you to see I feel like a lot of people would claim Elf as their favorite Christmas movie.
I know, but I think it's really something good about our generation. Like, you know, we saw Elf like at the time where, like, that's probably the height of humor. I don't know how old I was, sure. But I want to say I saw Elf and was like, well, nothing gets better than that.
and it's clean. Will Ferrell's hilarious, but it's clean Will Ferrell, so, like, everyone can watch it.
Yes, yes, it's definitely.
Which is never the case.
Yeah, and I think that's, like, I mean, it's, like, totally a family movie, you know? It's, like, the message is, like, spread Christmas cheer. Right. Like, it's wholesome and fun.
I know I reference it throughout the year.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Elf comes up a lot. I think it's a good movie. I mean, when I was trying to figure out which one to talk about, I ran through, all, like, the Love Actually's, The Holiday, all the shallow, trashy ones. I mean,
Hallmark movies.
My mother and sister will run through some Hallmark movies. I'm not going to pretend. I haven't seen a fair few myself. but I just think, if you haven't seen Elf in a while, which would be crazy because you should probably watch it once a year.
That's right.
I think or if you saw it like when you were young, I think if you watched it now, there'd be a lot of stuff that you'd catch like as an adult that would be fun again, you know? Like I remember watching it recently being like, at one point he gets drunk in the mailroom, and I remember being like, I didn't know what that meant, you know? Like I was just like, look how fun the mailroom is.
You're just having a good time. Yeah.
But no, they have a flask.
Oh, thanks for asking what mine was.
Yes,
so,
you wouldn't let me breathe. Well, this is my podcast now. John, please tell us about your favorite movie.
Thanks, thank you, Megan.
Yeah.
I think I alluded to this earlier, but Jim Carrey's How the Grinch Stole Christmas is my favorite of all time. And Elf is a close second.
Mm-hmm.
I love Elf. But this Grinch movie, I think Ron Howard is the director and producer, or just the director, but I just find his humor, like he did Arrested Development, his humor matches up really well with mine.
Mm-hmm.
And so he does a lot of ironic humor, which is what I think is hilarious. And there's tons of this, and like everything's a double meaning, or there's just a lot of like stuff that's just weird. And it's not outright funny. It's just like Ron Howard's humor, and I really like it.
Yeah.
Also, Jim Carrey's humor is in it, and he's off the wall ridiculous.
This was really great, Jim Carrey.
Yeah.
Era.
He did exactly.
This is a really good era of Jim Carrey.
But I appreciate, if you look behind the scenes, like it's really fun because you see like the time it took to put on the costume every day and
that
the makeup.
That is crazy. Have you heard that story about like his makeup? Like,
I have.
It took like, it was like 8 hours a day or something ridiculous. And he had to get trained by like a Navy SEAL on like meditation practices.
Yeah.
Because he did like one day and he's like, I'm walking. Like this isn't worth it.
He saw, I saw that and he just had to keep remembering, okay, this is for my kids. Like,
yeah.
But days after days of that much, I don't know.
They were like, they had to like teach him like torture techniques.
Yeah,
that's insane. I can't imagine.
No, awful. And yet he's just fantastic on screen. I love the Grinch movies and just the story so much because it's so redemptive.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
I was going to say, do you identify?
Do
you live on Mount Crumpet?
I'm not a Grinch, but I appreciate like, just no matter how bad a person is, he can be forgiven.
Yep.
And then not just forgiven, but like put at the head of the table.
Yeah,
and I think that's just so sweet.
Yeah. And that's really, also really a good Christmas message.
Yeah.
You know, good time of the year. Happiness, forgiveness.
Yeah. Yeah, I love it. So I can't get enough of it. In fact, Katie, I think, has grown to like it more.
Because,
yeah. Just because I have to watch it. But
force
like,
it on people.
The day after Thanksgiving, I always just make it a habit to watch it.
Watch The Grinch. I think that's there's something about Thanksgiving, and I think why Thanksgiving
and it's Christmas.
Get overshadowed by Christmas, because like everyone's like, well, I can't watch the holiday until after Thanksgiving.
Right.
Then it's Christmas time, and then I can celebrate. And I don't know. It's funny.
Right.
But
any other Christmas movies that you like to watch?
I feel like I ran through them. Stereotypical ones. I like Christmas Vacation. It's not like I don't live or die by Christmas Vacation. There's some people I think definitely do.
Chevy Chase.
Yes. I like I said, the more rom-com-y ones.
Mm.
Like Love Actually, which is a deeply flawed movie that I watch every year anyway. But you know, sometimes I make bad decisions.
I was gonna say I really like the I don't know if it's claymation, but the old like Heat Miser, the Rudolph Red-Nosed Reindeer.
All those ones
are just fun.
All those ones on TV we watch all the time, and like it's a joke in our house that my dad hates. I think it's Santa Claus is Coming to Town is one of them. And it's like young Santa Claus and he's redheaded. Yes.
Yeah.
And then there's like the winter wizard that's becomes good, I guess. But
it's the song is Put One Foot in Front of the Other. And I can sing it right now.
I'm actively trying not to sing it. But the funny thing about that movie is it was clearly made in the 60s, and there is a long interlude in the middle where like his love interest sings a song and they're like rainbow hippie like nonsense, and that scene drives my dad up a wall. And so every time that's on TV, we're like, leave it. So yeah, and then I mean Rudolph and all
that.
No,
I was actually, when I was really young, I was really scared by the snow monster. And some people have Wizard of Oz as their like scary old time movie.
Oh yes.
This is my
Wizard of Oz is pretty scary.
You know, Wizard of Oz never really scared me, but the snow monster and Rudolph just scared
the crap out of you.
Yeah. And like I would have nightmares for when I was really little. So I don't know why.
He ends up being
like
a nice message. But you can't, you don't get that far. You're like,
I'm out.
That's it. Yeah, there's all those, and then like Charlie Brown Christmas is great. That's my that's my dad's favorite, so he's always wanting to watch that. It's a classic.
Any others you can think of? I think we covered.
I think we
covered every single one.
You know, not Die Hard, and let's just move on. No, I'm just kidding.
No comment. I think we already talked
my
about
Twitter
that.
My Twitter ads are going to be a nightmare. I never delete this, John. No, I'm kidding.
Megan, why do you hang out with
me? Oh, my God.
Awesome. So Butcher's Market, and then
Your favorite Christmas movie.
And then watch your favorite Christmas movie. It with friends. Watch it with family.
It's nice to be happy.
Don't be a Grinch. Don't be like Megan.
Don't be like me. Let your heart grow.
Have a heart.
Don't be like me. Have a heart. That's the message of this episode. All
right. So let me recap everything. So the first is go to the Pit. There's a couple locations in the Triangle.
Yes.
Get some great barbecue. Go see the Grinch, which should be out for a while longer. Mm-hmm. Enjoy it. Unlike Megan. And then
I'll watch it eventually.
I want to hear what you think of it. And then for night in, go to the Butcher's Market, get yourself a lasagna or something else, and then come home and watch a Christmas movie. So I think we got it.
Sounds great.
Yeah. But there's going to be a few more episodes before Christmas, but...
But this is the beginning of the season.
You should say Merry Christmas, everybody.
Merry Christmas.
Yeah, because...
This is the beginning. Everyone's excited about Christmas, and I just want you all to have a great Christmas and watch your favorite Christmas movie.
Thanks, Megan. And thanks for being on the 911 podcast.
Of course. Always.